Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Hello, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and as always, excited to have you all join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So on tonight, we're actually going to do our last hashtag moment of the month for the hashtag Living with Broken Pieces. We'll then continue our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. We'll go right into my weekly confession with Let's Be Real, and then we'll go to our main discussion tonight, which is titled You Already Have What You Need. We'll end the show with our dose of spiritual wellness, and then I'll give you final greetings. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show tonight. So that includes Living with Broken Pieces, Wellness and Faith, Let's Be Real, hashtag moment, or if you think of anything else that really resonates with you, just be sure to post it and then tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. You are also more than welcome to call into the show with any questions or comments that you have on any of the material that we are discussing tonight. You can call into the show live by dialing 347-850-1154. Again, that's 340 or 347-850-1154. And if you need that number again, you can look at the show website at blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. All right, so let's get right into our hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and then you can post on social media with that particular hashtag. I am a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My most recent blog, titled Living with Broken Pieces, was published just a few weeks ago, so I encourage you to go to the website at radiantsunshine.org to check it out and let me know what you think. So once again, the hashtag for the month of August was Living with Broken. So this actually stems from Acts chapter 27, verses 9 and 10, where it's talking about Paul's account of him being shipwrecked, one of the many times he was shipwrecked, and how he and the other prisoners and the other soldiers that were on the ship were able to survive because some of them swam to shore after the ship was completely destroyed. Some others actually made it on boards of the ship, but then there was another group of individuals that was able to survive the storm, survive being shipwrecked by making it to shore with broken pieces. So with the past few weeks, we've talked about the different reasons why storms can happen. Storms can happen because of poor decisions that you make. Storms in your life can happen because of decisions that others make that are close to you, and then those decisions directly affect your life. But on tonight, what I actually want to focus on is talking about how the storm destroys, but the storms also produce as well, and it can produce exactly what you need in order to survive after the storm. So what do I mean by this? One, when I'm talking about storms in your lives, of course, we're using that metaphorically, and that can really refer to any type of situation that is troublesome, that's challenging, that's hard, that's frustrating, that you're experiencing in your life. So you can be experiencing a storm as a result of financial hardships. Maybe there's an illness that you're experiencing or a loved one is. You can be experiencing a storm because of relational issues, whether that's with your spouse, or your children, or with family members. You can be experiencing a storm because of financial issues, or maybe you've gone through a traumatic experience, or you haven't been able to, you know, completely process and be able to heal from different abuses that may have occurred in your life. And, of course, the list can go on and on and on and on. And right now we know, you know, throughout the world, there's so many things going on where people have literally gone through a storm with those that are in the Baton Rouge area. You know that there's been extensive flooding over the past few weeks, and it's been continuing to rain. And then we know that there's been various terrorist attacks throughout, you know, different countries. And so even, you know, depending on what region you're in, you may literally be living through a storm at this very moment. And so we're talking about these storms, and there's so much destruction that comes with a storm. And depending on how powerful the storm is, it's going to definitely affect how many things are destroyed and broken, even as a result of the storm occurring. But the thing about a storm being destructive and destroying what you need, it can also produce what you need as well. And I'm using this based off of the account that we have here in Acts 27, where Paul and everyone on the ship is shipwrecked. And so when you look at the storm destroyed what Paul and the soldiers and the other prisoners needed. They needed the ship in order to get to their destination. They were on their way traveling to Rome. And so in order to make that trip as simple and as efficient and effective as possible, you need a ship. You know, during that biblical times, that was the means of traveling across the waters. You didn't have airplanes operating at that point. So the easiest way to get there, simplest way, again, was on a ship. But the storm comes, and it destroys the ship. So now exactly what they needed in order to get to their destination was destroyed. But then when you look at the storm and how the ship was destroyed, the storm also produced what some of the soldiers needed in order to survive. Again, you have some that were able to swim, so they swam to the shore. And then you had others who were able to make it to shore because they could not swim, but instead they made it on the board from the ship, and they made it from the broken pieces from the ship. So even though you may be going through things right now that are destroying what you need, that makes life easiest to deal with, you may even have lost things that made things fairly comfortable in your life. You know, for instance, for, you know, those listeners who may be in the Baton Rouge area, you know, you have literally lost your home, literally lost cars, you've lost your possessions, and, you know, you may have only survived the storm with the clothes on your back. And so this storm that happened, it destroyed what you need, literally. But then when you look at it, that you still have your life. And I've never lived through a situation with a flood where I've lost my entire home and everything that I've had and I've worked so hard from. So I don't want to come across as sounding insensitive when I say this. But the one thing that I'm thankful for is that if you are listening to this show tonight, that means that you still have your life. So you have what you need. And now going through this circumstance, you can actually see how you are stronger and you're surviving. It's difficult. It's hard. It's frustrating. It's painful. But now you're able to even do more with less. And you're still making it day by day, even through the tears, even through the frustration and the pain and the heartache. You're still making it day by day. And so the storm is now causing you to really survive off of a strength that you may not have even realized that you had. And even for those of you where this is extremely hard because you also survived Katrina as well, and for those of you who are living in different parts of the U.S. or even in different countries around the world where there's so many things going on and so much violence and so much hurt and pain just because of systemic injustices, because of prejudices that people have against other people based upon their religion or, you know, who they are and the color of their skin or, you know, what their social status is. It can be a lot to endure all that. But at the same token, even though there may have been destruction that has occurred in your life, or there may be destruction that is still taking place even now, is that look at the storm, and of course you're going to out-issue what the storm has destroyed. You're going to see what the abuse has brought in your life. You're going to see what the trauma has produced. You're going to see what the financial hardship has caused as well. But also see what the storm is producing in your life as well. See the strength. See the faith. See the determination. See the endurance. See the creativity. You know, like I can tell you that over the past few months with the different storms that I've been experiencing in my life is that I've really tapped into a new level of creativity when it comes to finding different solutions to, you know, things. And, you know, maybe I need to write a book on it as well. I don't know. Some things I may not ever share. But I can tell you that I've definitely seen just a new level of creativity when it comes to solving different issues. And it's not always a creativity that's from DIY projects. I can tell you that there's been some creativity that needs to come about in order just to take care of, you know, day-to-day responsibilities and to keep moving forward and to not allow the storm to totally deter me from reaching my goals and still walking in my purpose and still doing what I know that God has called me to do and not losing my faith. Is that even though, yes, there are some moments where it's tough and it's challenging, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to survive and I'm going to live and I'm going to thrive on my faith. So when it comes to our spiritual wellness, we must learn to utilize and to live with the broken pieces in our lives and to build with those broken pieces. And in order to build with the broken pieces in your life, you must be able to see not only what the storm destroys, but you must also see what the storm produces on your behalf as well. All right, so let's go into our next segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. This is a point of show where I strongly encourage you to interact with me live while we discuss various reasons why it may be difficult to believe in God. We're still in the middle of our hope of the New Testament that Jesus actually performed. If you would like to call in to be a part of the discussion, you can dial 347-850-1154. On tonight, we're actually going to be discussing the miracle of Jesus where he feeds over 5,000 people. Again, the number calling to the show live is 347-850-1154. Feel free to post on social media with the various hashtags, such as to believe or not to believe, and you can tag me at Weary Consult. The account of Jesus feeding the crowd of over 5,000 people is actually found in all four of the Gospels in the New Testament. It is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, Luke chapter 9, verses 12 to 17, and John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Okay, so let's talk about the main players here. So we have Jesus, we have the disciples, and then we have a crowd of more than 5,000. One of the misconceptions when this miracle is talked about is that it said that Jesus fed 5,000 people. It's not entirely incorrect, but it's not entirely correct either. If you say that he fed the 5,000, yes, he fed 5,000, but he also fed more than the 5,000. When you look at the different passages that I mentioned where the scriptures found, it says that it was a crowd of 5,000 men, plus the women and children as well. So with that number of the 5,000, that only accounts for the men that were present in this crowd that Jesus was teaching to, but there were also children that were present. There were also women as well. Unfortunately, we don't know the exact number of children and women that were present. So when you're talking about this particular miracle that Jesus performed, you want to make sure that you understand that it was more than 5,000 people that were fed off of this simple meal of just two fish and five loaves of bread. So what happens is setting up the stage is that, you know, we have Jesus. He's teaching to this crowd of over 5,000. And then you have the disciples, the 12 disciples who traveled, you know, with them as well. And so he's teaching, and it's getting late, and the disciples see how late it is. And they go over to Jesus, and they're like, yo, like, you need to let the people go home because it's getting late, and they need to go and get something to eat. And so Jesus looks at them, and he's like, you guys feed them. And so the disciples are like, okay, we don't have anything in order to feed them. But then there's this little boy who comes forward, and he offers up his lunch, which is just two fish and five loaves of bread. And so Jesus takes it, and he prays over it, and he tells the disciples to go and to distribute this now to the crowd of 5,000 people. And ironically, amazingly, miraculously, this is enough to feed 5,000 people. And when you think about it, it's just like you think it's just how big two fish should be. Like, it didn't say two whales, it didn't say two sharks, you know, it said two fish. So, you know, whether it was big fish or small fish, two fish is definitely not enough in a natural order of things to feed 1,000 people, more or less over 5,000 people, but it does. And even when you look at the five loaves of bread, again, five loaves of bread is not enough to feed 5,000 people. It's not enough to feed over 5,000 people, but it's done. And even when you put them together, the two fish and the five loaves of bread, not enough to feed 5,000 men. It's not enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children, but it is done. And it's amazing to be able to see that not only was it done, but then there was also extra that was left over. And when you look at the account, you know, in the Gospels, you can see that there were 12 baskets of scraps that were left over that the disciples were able to collect and to take with them as well. So I think this is just a really cool miracle that was performed, because not only do you see the miraculous power of Jesus that is demonstrated by being able to take such a small amount of food and feed such a large quantity of people. Again, it was over 5,000 people that were present. But you see that this was really born out of compassion. You know, instead of trying to send the crowd home and have them either risk, you know, going into the village and now there's no one else out still selling anything for them to eat, or for them even to try to travel home and just be tired and hungry from a long day and then have to go home and try to prepare a meal, which would have taken, you know, taken a lot of time as well, is that Jesus saves them that trouble. And he's like, you do it. He goes to the disciples and says, you feed them. You know, so even he's even prompting another level of compassion and of faith for the disciples as well, because I believe the disciples had compassion at the time. I can't explicitly say that with 100% surety, but seeing as how the disciples even noticing Jesus, like, hey, it's getting late, we're just sending people home, I believe that that was a sign of compassion. But here it is that now, you know, you have compassion, you have faith, and you have the power, and it ends up being exactly what the people needed. So what about you? Do you believe or do you not believe? Feel free to call into the show or even to post on social media as well to tell me what your thoughts are about this particular miracle. All right, so now we're going to go into our segment titled Let's Be Real. This is a point in the show where I make weekly confessions and I'm transparent and I admit my mistakes and my shortcomings and areas where I've had to grow in. But I'm also honest about the points in my life where I've been successful and I've grown and I've achieved success. And the purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe that we need more of from people of faith, and that is people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is that this week, this past week, the past 7 days, has been so rough. It has been so challenging. And the reason for that, that I have a loved one that's dealing with a physical illness. And so with trying to make sure that that loved one is taken care of and then also just trying to maintain my responsibilities and stay on top of everything that I need to do, it has been very, very challenging. And one of the things that I was reminded of this week is how important it is to not try to be superwoman and do it all on my own. I have been shown just over and over again that it is really important to, one, ask for help, to be honest with people about how I feel, and to also take a break on a daily basis or even multiple times during the day in order to make sure that I am practicing self-care, because at the end of the day, if I don't take care of myself, I will definitely not be able to adequately take care of others. I can go through the motions of trying to care for other people. I can go through the motions of trying to be there for people. And I can wholeheartedly and truly mean the very best for others and trying to care for them. But again, if I'm not caring for myself, I'm not going to be able to be there for others as well. And so with me, I'm going to tell you that I like to try to do everything that I can. And so it's been a little difficult to, you know, have to step back a little bit and say, like, hey, you know, I can no longer keep, you know, this particular engagement, or, you know, hey, I have an emergency that's going on, so I need to go handle this. Sorry that I can't be here right now. You know, and of course, like, it's been a valid, emergency that I've had to take care of this week, you know, like again, we're trying to make sure that a loved one is doing well and their physical needs are met as we go through this particular illness. But at the same token, you know, while I'm thinking about, let's say I need to take care of this loved one, but then I also need to make sure that these other things are taken care of and it's going to be fine with me no longer being able to be there, you know, to do whatever I need to do. And then on top of that, just still try to take care of myself. And it's been challenging because I'm human, and it's been challenging because I'm always learning. You know, and I believe that it's really important that we just don't try to act like we're perfect. That is one of the things that, you know, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you will see that, you know, I will be the first person to tell you that I am by no means perfect. I do not have it all together. And I've learned a lot. And a lot of my lessons I've been learned from making mistakes, from doing things the wrong way. But then there's been some other things that I've been able to learn because of the support system that I have in my life, from my family, some mentors, some friends, some associates, you know, other people that I interact with, and being able to learn from their own experiences so I don't have to make the mistakes that they've made as well. So, you know, even with this confession on this week, you know, is that I want to be honest and let you all know that, again, like, my life isn't perfect. I don't have it all together. And there are times that I have challenges. There are times that things are difficult. And this is all a part of really being spiritually well. It's very important that you are honest about where you are. You know, when it comes to your spiritual wellness is definitely affected by your mental wellness, your emotional wellness, your physical wellness, and other areas of life as well. You know, your financial wellness, your social wellness, you know, your intellectual wellness. You know, we can go on and on and on about how it's so important just to make sure that you're doing everything you can to really put yourself in a position to be well and to have a certain level of balance. Things are not going to be perfectly balanced all the time, but when you recognize that there's a shortage in an area, that you do your best to try to compensate for that and not cover it up and not be in denial about that. And like I said, so yeah, I've definitely had to do that a few times this week, is, you know, reach out to a few people and say, hey, can you help me do this? You know, and say, hey, can you help me do that? Or, hey, you know, I can't be there to help you with this particular thing, you know, but definitely wish you well and, you know, do that. Or, you know, even picking up friends' offers to hang out to enjoy myself, you know, definitely doing that. Again, just making sure I'm practicing self-care, and then also just taking a moment just to be by myself, to rejuvenate, to do what I need to do in order to, again, make sure that I'm taking care of others, that I'm taking care of the responsibilities as much as I can as well. So, for everyone listening here, just as I was reminded this week, that it is so important to intentionally practice self-care on a daily basis throughout the day. Make sure that you're doing the same thing too. Please take care of yourself, because you cannot adequately care for others if you are not caring for yourself. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break in the show for our brief commercial break, which is a wellness moment from Sharia Farmer, who is the therapist and the executive director of the RF Counseling and Wellness Center. And then after this wellness moment, we will be back.
Today's wellness moment is something that I just absolutely love, which is music. Anyone who knows me knows that I love to listen to music. I love to sit and actually listen to vinyl sometimes, and it's just a different level of listening to music. But when it comes down to it, the reality is that when you want peaceful times and you want peaceful moments, you have to be very mindful of the things that you're listening to. For me, when I'm feeling down, I'm feeling out, I try to make sure that I listen to music that is calming and or music that is actually uplifting. So I use music that actually reflects the mood that I want to be in. So be very mindful and careful that you take care of your emotional health by making sure that the things that you're listening to and exposing yourself to can help you to get a positive as well as an internal view on how to be well. So for me, when I'm down and out, like I said, I listen to some inspirational or some very uplifting music. But other times when I just want to be calm, I actually listen to things that might be similar to the waves or ocean, or wait, the waves in the ocean, where it might actually calm me. So something that's jazz and cool and calm can actually internalize inside me and bring me to a good place. So remember, say yes to some good music when you want to feel better and take care of yourself. All right, everyone be well.
All right, hello everyone. Welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. Remember, you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that you hear mentioned throughout the show. And if you hear anything during the show that either sparks a question, that encourages you, or resonates with you, feel free to post on social media with the particular hashtag, Living with Broken Pieces, Let's Be Real, Hashtag Moment, Wellness or Faith, or you can create your own hashtag that relates to anything that we are discussing here tonight. And just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. Also, if you would like to call into the show to be a part of the discussion, remember you can dial 347-850-1154. Okay, so now we are going to get into our main discussion, which is titled, You Already Have, You Need. And this is really based upon a revelation that I received a few years ago and that I remind myself of just in times when I feel that I am lacking or just experiencing a particular lack, you know, in any area of my life. So this particular revelation that I received, it was actually back in 2010, so a little over 6 years ago. And what happened is I was preparing, you know, to do actually my initial sermon for, you know, to become licensed as a minister. And so I'm preparing for the sermon, and as I'm preparing for the sermon, I was actually a little bit frustrated because I had some different things going on in my life at that point. And I'm like, wow, like, here it is, you know, I have these particular needs, I have these prayers, I've been praying to God and not being answered, this is what is going on, and now I have to go and do this sermon where I have to inspire other people. Like, here it is, like, I have needs that need to be met. And now I have to try to meet the needs of other individuals from a spiritual perspective anyway. And so when I'm preparing sermons that, you know, I heard, you know, just the Spirit speak to me and say, just like, if you don't have it right now, you don't need it right now. Once again, if you don't have it right now, you don't need it right now. Now, don't get me wrong. With this particular revelation, initially I was confused because I was like, what do you mean? Like, if I don't have it right now, I don't need it. Like, obviously, if I don't have it, I do need it. But what it is that as I continue just to, you know, meditate and just to pray through that moment, just to get the full revelation of what God was trying to say to me, is that what it let me know is that even though there was a lack in my life, is that at the very moment that I need that lack to be fulfilled, it's going to be fulfilled. You know, at the very moment where it's like either victory for me or absolute defeat, that's when God is going to step in and he's going to give what I need. And in the very moment that the lack is there, if I needed it in order to survive that very moment that I'm in, it would have already been supplied. And that was a hard revelation to accept initially because I'm just like, okay, so how am I supposed to feel about what I'm lacking? Like, am I supposed to pretend like it's not there? Am I supposed to be in denial about the fact that there is this lack? And it's like, no, it's not to be in denial about the lack. This whole revelation of if you don't have it right now, you don't need it right now, it does not negate the fact that you have a lack. What it does say is that at the very moment that you are thinking about your lack, is that God has already given you whatever you need in order to survive, and so that lack is no longer there. And it's just really a true reflection of life. There are times in our lives where we are going to be lacking sometimes even basic necessities. I know earlier in the show I mentioned those who are, you know, going through with Baton Rouge and those are, you know, experienced losses. You know, there's been several terrorist attacks over the past few weeks around the entire world, where people are being targeted for just senseless reasons, you know, and just going through things they should not have to experience, whether it's racism or prejudice or being stereotyped or having loved ones murdered or even the loss of their own lives just because of fear that is rooted in hatred or a misunderstanding or rooted in a lack of compassion for those who are different from us, is that there is a need and or there are things that are lacking, I should say. But even in those moments of just not having everything that you really need in order to make life a little bit easier, to make it make things a lot easier to manage, is that if you don't have it right now, you don't need it right now. It means that you won't ultimately be defeated. Life will still be challenging. Life will still be hard, but it won't stay, be like that permanently. It won't stay like that. I can tell you that I am such a witness of that. You know, even with the past week, I can tell you that there have been many times that I've sat and I've thought about, okay, well, this is lacking and this is lacking and this is lacking and this isn't right. This is going wrong and this is fall apart. But here I am, still doing the show. I made it another day. You know, I can tell you a week ago this time, I wasn't doing the show, you know, just because I was not able to, you know, at the time. But even with not being able to, because I had to care for, you know, a family member, is that at the same token, is that in that moment where I felt, you know, just like, okay, like this is a lot going on, you know, how am I going to get through this? I made it through. I made it through that day. I made it through that evening. I made it through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Here I am an entire week later. And so even though there are some things that have not been resolved, just even within the past week alone, at the end of the day, I'm still here. I survived. I'm living. And the very thing that I thought, or even things, really multiple things that I thought that I needed in that moment in order to survive this next week alone, some of those have not been met, but I still survived. And so this whole revelation about if you don't have it right now, you don't need it right now, is all about, one, recognizing what you do have, that even if it's just one simple thing, is that as long as you are alive and you're breathing, you have what you need to continue to make it through whatever you're going through right now. And that can be hard when you have lost everything, when it's just like when the only thing you have is literally your life. But that's all you need in order to start building again. The process may be difficult. The process may take a long time with going through the whole thing of having to start over again. And it can be really frustrating, especially when you went through weeks and months of years of doing what you needed to do in order to have a certain level of stability in your life and having your hard work pay off and then having that all destroyed, whether it's by a natural disaster, whether it's by, you know, violence, you know, of the things that's going on, you know, because of people who are really acting out of hate. You know, whatever it is that causes a type of loss in your life, whether you're dealing with a physical illness or you have a loved one that's dealing with a physical illness, and so there's a certain amount of comfort and a certain amount of level of really routine that was lost, because now you have a whole new routine that you have to get used to in light of whatever storm has taken place in your life. At the end of the day, you still have what you need to make it through. And through the tears, through the frustration, through the pain, you can still make it. You can still thrive. You can still start again. And you can still be even better after this. You will come out stronger. You will come out wiser. You will come out with a greater sense of appreciation. And then you will also come out with a greater sense of empathy to be able to help someone else along who has either went through a similar situation or is going through it. You can help somebody else get through it too and say, hey, I've been there. This is what you do when you're feeling like this. This is what you do when you have this particular situation. This is who you talk to. There's a resource that you can use, because I know this resource is valuable because I use it, and this is what I did. You know, everything that we go through, it definitely can not only build our own faith, our own strength, it can build creativity within us, but it can also help someone else as well. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about how they overcome by the words of their testimonies and the blood of the Lamb. And so even you see the importance of sharing your own strength, your own tears, your own frustration, and sharing your own story of victory, your own story of loss and how you regained and how you were restored. There is power in sharing your own journey. So you want to make sure that you're talking to other individuals who can relate and who can support you, but also make sure that you go back and you support others as well, because we can all use just a little bit of love, a little bit of support, a little bit of encouragement. It goes such a long way. It doesn't have to be something deep and something extra grandiose. It doesn't have to be something that's you know, on this huge platform. You don't need to be a celebrity. You don't need to be a pastor, a preacher, or even have a title. Just be you and just lend a helping hand to someone because you already have what you need within you to survive. So give your story of survival to someone else and see God work in a miraculous way that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. So that even means that in our times of lack, in our times of feeling like all is lost, is that God is still greater. God is still a God of possibility. God is still the God of ability. God is still the same powerful, miraculous God that he was before your circumstance. He has not changed now that your circumstance has occurred. He is still able to carry you through and to do whatever you need and to supply every one of your needs, even though it may not happen how you want it to happen, and I can definitely talk about that. How I have prayed prayers, and I've had them answered, and they were totally not answered in the way that I wanted them to be answered or how I wanted them to be answered even within a time frame, but they were answered, and I'm still here. So I encourage each and every one of you to just not give up hope and to be encouraged and to look at your storm. Remember earlier in the storm, we talked about how, yes, the storm destroys what you need, but it also produces what you need as well. So use those broken pieces, start over again, survive, become better, become stronger, and do what you need to do in order to keep yourself spiritually fit and to feed your faith and to not feed your fear. All right, so now we're going to go into our dose of spiritual wellness. And this is the point of the show where we recap the show and to give you just a little tidbit just to help you to carry on throughout the rest of the week. And the dose of spiritual wellness for this week is focus on a supplier and not on what you need. Again, focus on a supplier and not on what you need. And this supplier is Jesus, is God. And so, yes, we need to be aware of what's going on in our lives in order to try to navigate the different challenges. But ultimately, our focus should be on God, who is our supplier of all of our needs, who is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, and not on what you need. Yes, be aware, do what you need to do your part, but then focus, take on, think about, dwell on, ruminate on Jesus, on God, because he is the one that's going to carry you through. All right, so that is all for our show on tonight. I've enjoyed spending this time with you all and hope and pray that there was at least one thing that was said to encourage you and to help you carry on throughout the week. Just as a heads up, Wellness and Faith will not air next week due to the holiday, so a week in advance, I wish you all a safe and enjoyable and relaxing holiday. Remember that you can log on to blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness to be able to listen to replays of the show. So you can still listen to the show on next week at 7 p.m. if you would want to go ahead and listen to replays either of tonight's show or of previous shows as well. You can do that again at blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. Be sure to check out the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog at radiantsunshine.org. You can find tons of helpful wellness tips along with my guest blogs there as well. While you're at radiantsunshine.org, I want you to go to rsdevelopment.org. That's rsdevelopment.org to check out information about the Women's Enrichment Community. We actually are in full swing now. I know that there was the second monthly empowerment call that was held on yesterday evening. So if you're not a part of the community, you missed out once again. And the community is really a great resource for women who are looking for emotional support as you pursue your goals, whether they're emotional goals or relational or social goals, professional goals, financial goals, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, having a foundation of emotional wellness is going to be crucial to your success. And so this is what you find with being a part of the community. You get weekly empowerment groups, you get the monthly empowerment calls, free live coaching sessions with the ability to be able to earn more free sessions. You get email support and just so much more for a very small yearly fee. So go to rsdevelopment.org to be able to get more information about that. Remember, you can interact with me online before, during, and after the show. You can find me on social media at Weary Consult on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on Periscope. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can go to my website, sherryweary.com. That's sherryweary.com. And lastly, my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is still available for purchase. You can get that in the print or the ebook format. You can order directly from my website at sherryweary.com. You can also purchase the book, either print or ebook, on amazon.com. And you can also find it on barnesandnoble.com. My book, Walking Through the Pain, is also the official book of the 2016 Paradigm Shift Women's Conference, which will take place in Philadelphia, PA, on September 17, 2016. Time is winding down to be able to register for that conference. So if you want to attend, you need to go register today. You can find out more information about the speakers and also get information on how to register at PatriceMyrickMinistries.com. If you will be traveling from outside of the Philadelphia area, you can also contact Charlene Giles, who is the official travel agent for the conference, and she will be able to help you to get some pretty good deals as well. Until we meet again, which will be in 2 weeks, again, we will not air next week because of the holiday, but until we meet again, and as always, I pray that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.